Whew. God's good. Amen. So thankful. So thankful. Miss Vicky's been with Wayne for 60 years. Speaking of strong people. No, we love Wayne and Vicky. Wayne and Vicky have been a part of us since I can remember anyway, and I've been here since before all the services started. So good people, good friends. Good to have them. Glad 60 years, and we'll hope for 70 and 80, long as you want to stay. How about that? Thank you, Lord. Well, we had a bunch of 60s, and Mr. Conrad and his wife were up there. They had a 61. Boy, God's good to us. He ain't got nothing on our marriages. He can't have them. And those are good examples for the people that had one. Amen. Because you had to, as Brother Moore says, you had to get through one to get to 61. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, open your Bibles today to John 15:7. I'm going to kind of piggyback on what Mrs. Moore was talking about a little bit last week. Everybody get to see that and hear it? It was good. There were answers. You know, I heard a lot of people talk about the answers they got, and that, you know, in the UK, after the service, the Friday service, I was there till late. Person after person came and thanked the ministry, not thanking me, but thanking for the ministry. The Lord, you know, we can get in a fishbowl and think we're right here. There's people all over the world that see the ministry through these churches that Brother Moore ministers to through faith school and other ways. And we want to be thankful for that. We don't ever want to forget how much larger what God has going through Faith Life Church, More Life Ministries, Faith Life International is, you know, the church with the two locations. We are blessed to be able to participate in all these things. And so we don't ever want to become unthankful and forget how grateful we are for these partners. You know, many of them said, you know, we didn't think we'd ever get to listen to Brother Moore live. And then he came here. You know, and I know I felt that way. I mean, when me and Rick were stealing, pirating tapes and everything else, you know, we just wanted to figure out how we could rent a building and get Brother Moore into that building. That was our goal, wasn't it? Yeah, everything we did, it was focused on how we could get him to where we were. And little did we know, God would bring him here for free. Glory to God. That's just how much he loves me. You know, that's on my... Miss Phyllis may think she's... No. She can have that title. I'll stay pretty. Amen. John 15:7. Let's start there. I had started looking at this actually months ago. I think it was right after Greater Faith. In abiding and dwelling. And the importance of the place and not just where we are, but what's in us when we're there. And, you know, this verse was the first verse because it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So if you're living in him and his words living in you, you're covered, right? You're in him and he's in you. And you know, that word abide means to be present. One of the words for it is be present, remain, dwell. If we're present in the Lord, if we're present in his presence, if you will, and then his word is present in us. You know, when I first heard that verse back in the 90s when I was broke, you know, I kept, man, if you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what I will. Ask what I will. And that's all I saw was ask what I will. I was trying to figure out how I could get something, not how I could be something. And it's too often, can you turn this down a little bit? It's just a little hot because I'm loud. I know. I'm okay with that, though. It's not enough to want something. It's everything to be something. when you're in Him, you're His. When He's in you, He's yours. And that's God's not trying to trade with us. He's trying to become our everything. He's trying to be everything you want, everything you need. And it's not an ego thing. He knows what He can do in you and through you. And it's important to Him that we abide in these places. It's a state of being. It's who you become, and then it is who you are, right? Because of your place in Him, that makes you who you are. His word in you makes you who you'll become. Because then you can begin to ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. But when you look at it the way I looked at it before, you're never going to get it because what? You're never going to ask the right question because you're always in the wrong place. Right? When I was asking Him from a standpoint of being broke, right? And I was saying, "Oh, Lord, abide in me. I'm going to abide in you. Abide in me. I'm going to abide in you." You don't have to ask Him. He says, "If you'll abide in me, and my word abides in you." In other words, He's saying, you can abide in me. And my word will abide in you. And if these two things exist, you will ask. You will ask, and it shall be done. It doesn't, you know, then that's the key to it. If this doesn't ask, you won't ask right. You'll ask questions that can't be answered. You'll ask questions from a wrong heart. Because when you abide in Him and He abides in you, your heart's right. Yes. Amen? You know, and I won't tell you what my daughter asked me, but she asked me if she could do something when she was in her younger teenage years. And I said no. But she asked me, you know. And sometimes you ask God and He doesn't say no. He says, you can't handle it. And so she asked me if I could do it. And I said, well, your heart's wrong right now, baby. I said, you don't want to do this right now. Your heart's in the wrong place. Right? And that's not a no. That's a, you're going to have to get to a different place. Where you can't be where you're at and get to where you want to be. Right? Or you can't get there from here. And so years later, she changed. Her heart actually changed. She didn't purpose to change her heart. Her heart changed. Why? But she loved. She followed. It's the same thing we do. As children, we should love Him. We should follow Him. We should do what He says. Yes. Why? Because we love Him. Yes. Right? Yes. Not to prove we love Him, right. Because we love Him. Yes. You know, people are trying. We're such traitors, you know, trading trader, not traitors, traders, traders. When I went to England, they asked me if I learned any English. And I said, no, but I may have taught them some hillbilly. I went into some place and I said, so this is Cheltenham. And they said, what? Well, in hillbilly, it's Cheltenham, right? In English, it's Cheltenham, right? And but it was, you know, I just lost my place going there. But when we abide in Him, when we abide in Him and His words in us, we begin to ask questions that fit our heart. Our heart begins to ask the questions out of our love for Him and His word in us. Amen? You can begin to ask things that immediately, it doesn't say that you might get them, right? Because you'll ask in such a way that you know you're going to get them. Amen? You know, in that verse, let me go back to it here. In that verse, it says, you shall ask. You know, in the concordance, it doesn't separate those two words. If you try to look up shall, it'll put it with ask. And if you try to put up ask, you can't separate it. So the word is shall ask. You shall ask. Right? And the other word is it shall be done. Shall be done. There's no separation in them. I'm trying to get one from the other, and it won't let me. It puts a little blue line here. You guys don't understand that, do you? You've ever done that on the computer and it won't let you? Why? It's showing you ask with shall in front of it, because the shall means you'll do it. Yeah. And you'll do the asking, and the asking will be done unto you. Yeah. And that's what He's saying. He's saying, I want you to be in such a place in Him that you can ask from that place, that word in you, causes you to ask in such a way that it's an impossibility not to receive it. Amen? And that's where he's trying to get us to. When he says, if you abide in me, and in the verses above, he says, a branch can't abide separate from the vine. And if we're grafted into that vine, what's he saying? He's saying, you're in me, and now I'm flowing through you. Right? You can't just be in me. Right? You could stick a dead branch in a bush all day long, and it's still going to be a dead branch. Amen? But if God grafts it in and it becomes part of that tree, now what's feeding the tree is feeding you. So that's what he's saying. If you abide in me, you're in the vine, and the vine now abides in you because that's what's feeding you. Now you're going to ask different questions. You're going to think different. You're going to see different. You're going to be different. Amen? If you look in the chapters in Luke, where he goes in chapter 6 and he's talking to the Beatitudes. Is that what they call them? Beatitudes? Right? Is it a Beatitude? These are my Beatitudes. Right? And it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. What's he saying? Blessed are those who God can work with your heart, because you'll see him for who he is. Right? You won't see him for what you want. You'll see him for who he is. And who he is will be everything you want. Amen? And so as we look at things and he changes our way of looking at them, and he says, I want you to be in this place and I want to be in you in this place. Amen? And what's he saying? I don't want you to move. He says, remain there. It's a perfect vision of faith. Look at James 1:6. James 1:6, he says, but let him ask in faith. What's he saying? Let him ask from a place, faith, right? Nothing wavering. In other words, don't move, right? If you ask in faith, then if you're abiding in him, he's abiding in you. You begin to ask in faith. You ask in faith, not moving off of your ask. Why? Because you know what you ask is his will. Right? If we waver, we move. So we don't remain in him. We go to a different place. Amen? You know, most of our lives, we don't spend remaining in him. We go under him, around him, by him. Right? We're over here, and he's right there. And you're saying, I just know he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. So rather than being in him, you remain in you. Right? Because you want to ask what you will, right? And it be done unto you. In other words, Lord, give me a boat. Right? And he'll give you a boat, but he wants you first. Right? He'll give you all kind of things, but he wants your heart first. That's why he says, abide in me. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. And then I'll abide in you and I'll work through that heart you've given me. Amen. And your question will be different. You'll say, Lord, I want to bless others. And he'll say, you know what would bless others? Let me give you a boat and you can take them riding around and you guys can. He might. Right. It might happen. It's all according to your heart. Right. He's used all parts, all kinds of things in my life to help other or to minister with other people, to minister to others. Amen. I mean, he'll use kindness and big tips to get you in with the waitresses and waiters. Next thing you know, they'll be asking you questions about God. Amen. And it's a good thing. Why? Because he's using you and the things that he's put in your life, and he's working his word through you to minister to somebody at every level. But you have to remain in him. You can't walk in and out. And when you ask him for something in faith, the key to that is be immovable. Right? I think sometimes when King James was written, like it says, have faith in God. And sometimes I think that should say, have faith, period, be in God. Right? In other words, don't try to have faith outside of God. Why? Because it's not going to work. Faith outside of God is wish. It's a big wish. right? So, because then he goes on and he says, have faith in God, for I say unto you that whosoever will say, what's he saying? You'll say if you have faith. The things of God, the things that he puts in us, his word in us, should cause us to say different things than we would say without him in us. Amen? So when we put his word in us, it not only gives us something to say, we can say his word, but it also helps us to say with love the things that we would say. Now we have ability we did not have before. Amen? Because what he's saying is, I want you to be in me every day. I want me to be in you every moment. Why? Because you'll answer different, you'll see different, you'll look different, because you're now following his commands. Amen? You're not looking to what you want to do, you're following him.
Yes.
And now they're not commands, they're valuable direction. Amen? It's a command when you don't know God. Right? He's taking something from you. He's not letting you do something. When you do know God, it's valuable. Amen? And that's where, you know, even back in, was it in the first verse? No, it's in a later verse. But when he says the words keep, we look at the word keep and we think do. And the word keep means guard, not do. It means guard, watch over. So when he says, I want you to keep my commands, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. See, we look at that and we say, that's a trade. If I love him, I'll show him by keeping his commands. No, what he's saying is, if you love me, you will keep them. It won't be hard. It's not grievous. Why? Because his commands aren't grievous. Because if you love him, you will do it. It's kind of like, if you abide in him, you will ask. If you abide in him and his word abides in you, you will ask. If you love him, you will follow. Not because you have to, because you get to. Everything becomes something we get to do, and we become a different person because of it. If you think about even the Beatitudes, if you go on down, that's a sermon. That's a whole sermon that starts in Luke 6. I think it starts right at the first of Luke 6. But it starts with all that, and then it talks about loving your enemies. Right? It talks about praying for those who despitefully use you. And he talks about don't judge. Mrs. Moore talked about last week, forgiving. No condemnation. Give, and it shall be given unto you. If you take the sermon over into Matthew, it says don't have two masters. It says don't worry. And what's he saying? He's giving you his sayings. These are his sayings. And then if you keep on going, even in Matthew, if you go down until it says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not these things I say? And he says that right after he said all these things. So what he's saying is, when I'm in you and you're in me, you can do all these things. You can walk in love. You can walk in forgiveness. You can walk without judgment. You can walk without condemnation. You will not have two masters. Your eye will be single, right? You will seek the kingdom of God first and not what you've got going on in your own life. Amen?
Yes.
What's he saying? He's saying these people came up to him. They said, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And he said, why didn't you do my words?
Yeah.
You know, what I asked you to do was love people. I didn't ask you to prophesy. I didn't ask you to do miracles. I asked you to love people. He said, I wanted you to go out and be like me. And if my word is in you, if you're in me and my word is in you, that's what you'll do without thought. Why? Because that's who you've now become. Amen?
Yeah.
There are things in our characters, like in my character, that I do without thought. Right? Because it's part of who I am. And what we want to do is make that character like God, so we do God-like things without thought.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen? People say, well, you know, when you're hungry, you just get hangry. It's all you can do about it. No. No, you don't have to be hangry. Right? Now, trust me, I've been hangry. But I yield to hangriness. Right? But you don't have to do that. You can be hungry and not crabby at the same time, or not angry, or hungry and angry. You can be hungry and not angry. You know that you have the ability to be kind all the time through Christ. We have abilities in us, God-given abilities, that if we won't move, if we'll say, this is our place. Amen? The same ability that you have to love, you have to be healed. Amen? If you'll stand in your place and abide in Him and let His Word abide in you. Amen? You'll do what you won't even think about you very often because He didn't put, oh, and your me time. Don't forget your me time. Everybody needs their me time. Right? I couldn't find it in either version of the Sermon on the Mount. I couldn't find it. I looked for it because I wanted some me time. Right? It would be nice if you could have, but there's no such thing. Jesus tried to get a little me time. And what happened? The whole multitude followed him where he was going. Why? Because people who love people want to be around them. If we begin as the church to love like Christ loved and to walk in the love he's put in us, then we won't have a problem getting people to church. They'll follow us. Amen? Why? Because you abide in him and his word abides in you. You don't have to make a lot of effort. The spiritual will come out of you. It'll just come out of you. When you see something and you see somebody doing something that you would have used to done before you were saved, you won't condemn them. You won't judge them. You say, I've been there. And what happens? That compassion and that love that's abiding in you because you're abiding in him comes up, and you begin to minister to these people one-on-one, and you begin to bring them to a place where they can receive. And you take time, right? Because it's not your time. They didn't take your time. I tell Kim all the time when we hear something on TV that makes no sense at all, I'm like, I'll never get that 20 seconds back. Right? I don't want that 20. When I minister the love of God to somebody, I'm not worried about my time. Right? It's not about how long did this take? How long will this happen? You know, what can I do to get through this faster? You know, and then people say, because if people think that way, then other people will say, well, I don't want to bother them. Right? Where's my friend, Sean? We bother each other now. Right? Because why? Because you probably needed to be bothered. Yeah. Amen? I don't want to bother him. You know what? You needed to be bothered. My mom, if you used to tell her you didn't want a hug, oh, big mistake. Not only were you going to get a hug, but you were going to get a hug until you hugged her back. And it had to be a real hug. You couldn't just go, okay, mom, all right. No, you had to give her a hug with your heart in it. Why? She's not just needing a hug. She wants to train you to live a different way. Amen. Why? Because she hugged you because she loved you because God loved you and she was loving you through him. Amen. And it wasn't okay to say, oh, no, I don't want that. How many times is God trying to do that? And we're saying, oh, God, I'm a little busy today, God. You know, I don't have time for a hug. I don't have time to minister to people. I got my own stuff. Well, see, you missed all of Matthew 6 and 5 and part of 7, and you missed Luke 6. Why? Because none of that's in there. What he said is, I'll give you the ability to be slapped in the face. And you know automatic reactions, right? I mean that's your automatic. Well, what he's saying is, I'll make your automatic not automatic anymore. He said, I'll give you love ability to be slapped in the face and turn the other cheek. Did you get enough? Right? Now, I got to be honest with you. I can't imagine that just right now. But his word is abiding in me. Amen? So let's not try it today. Amen? Let's keep growing. Right? And say, Lord, can I just not condemn him right now? Right? Lord, could I just not judge him? I'll not judge him, but don't let him hit me, right? And I really like that coat, So I'll forgive them, but don't let them take my coat. Right? Yeah. You know, but what he's saying is, if you're in me, my word's in you, you'll do what I say. And he's not saying you'll do it because you have to. He's saying you'll be able to. It's an ability, not something you have to do. And that ability, you know, a lot of people don't want that ability. I don't want to love people. I don't, you know, no, I don't have to. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they're like. Why? I don't want to love them. Why'd God want to love you? Right? And he knew what you were like. Right? He knew every stupid thing we'd ever done, every stupid thing we'd ever thought. He knew it, and he said, you know, I love them. He obviously wasn't looking at our works. Right? And he's still not looking at your works to love you. Right? When those people said, well, we prophesied and did miracles, they're showing him his works. And he said, I don't want your works. I want your heart. I want your heart. If I've got your heart, your works will match your heart. You'll prophesy in love. You'll do miracles in love. You'll be different than everybody else out there trying to get something from somebody. Where did I tell everybody to go? I don't even know where I'm at now. James, we were in James. Don't move. Don't waver. If you're in faith for something, what he's saying is, if you'll remain in me and my words remain in you, you can be steady. But you have to do the remaining, right? If you won't remain in him, his words won't remain in you. They're in the same place. They're in the same place. We have to remain in him. You know, I know people that got saved years ago still don't look to his word for one answer in their life, right? So they're abiding in him, but his word's not abiding in them. And that's why he says you got to have both. He said, you abide in me, my word abide in you, and you become immovable. And when something tempts you to move, then that abiding word is what's going to stabilize you. Because that's what it means when it's talking about don't waver. Don't waver. Don't be unstable. See, when we're walking in and out of his word and his will and his ways, then we're wavering. Because why? Because over here for just a second, we believed him. Right? Because we were in him and he was in us. And then we went over here. Well, but you know, the doctor said. Yeah, but the banker said. Yeah, oh, but you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, and you don't know what he did to me. Oh, you don't. You know what? None. If you abide in him and remain, all those will be questions that don't even come up. Right? Because love doesn't ask those questions. It doesn't say, now, what'd you do to get the way you got? Right? No, it says, let me fix you. Because it doesn't matter how you got that way. Just let me fix you. Right? My word will fix you. It doesn't matter how sickness came. It only matters that you be healed. It doesn't say he came that he might know how you got sick, right? He came and healed, right? He did good and he healed all those that are oppressed of the devil. He didn't ask the guy at the pool. He didn't say, now, if you do, I'm going to heal you, but if you do it again, you're going to be sick. He healed him, right? He healed him and then went back and said, don't do that again. Why? What's he saying? He said, you're going to open a door if you do that again. And so what people are trying to get, they're mixing up works and they're mixing up the English language with God's language. God's language is so much higher than our language. It's so much greater. Look at John 8, verse 31. John 8, 31. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Okay, so he's talking to people that are now in him. Right? They believed on him. They're in him. And he said, if you continue, and that word continue, abide. If you abide in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And what happens? You believed in me. You abide in my word. So you're in me. My word's in you. Now what happens? You'll know truth. You will know the truth, and again, shall know, it's one word. They shouldn't even put a space in there. It should be shall know. What's that word, shall know? Why? Because you must know. You're going to know. It's not in question. If you believe on Him and you continue in His Word, you will know the truth, and that truth that you know will make you free. Any truth you don't know is not helping you today. Right? God told me that several weeks ago. He said, you know, it says what you don't know won't hurt you. And with Him, He said, what you don't know can't help you. Everything we know, truth that we know in Christ, is something that's valuable. That's why we keep it. That's why you keep His Word. You don't keep His Word to prove you love Him. You keep His Word because you love Him and you know how valuable that Word is. You guard it. You watch over it. Actually, I think it is guard it from loss or harm, is what it says. And that's how important the Word has to be, because that Word is going to be in you. And it has to be so important that it becomes your direction at all times. Right? You're driving down the road, somebody pulls out in front of you, your direction doesn't come from you anymore. Lord, help them, because they're trying to get somewhere in a hurry, and I don't want to see them in an accident. I don't want to see something bad happen to them. Instead of, what an idiot. And I know I'm way too good at that. But that's not what we want to say. Right? If somebody does something you used to do, and you don't even know how many people you pulled out in front of because you didn't know. Right? Just like they didn't know they pulled out in front of me. Right? You didn't know. You pulled out in front of somebody, stopped in front of them, were texting and driving 10 mile an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone. Right? And you're not even supposed to be texting. Right? Don't ask me how I know. You will know the truth, and His truth will make you free. In other words, you'll be free to do. It's not what you're free from as much as it's free to. Now I'm free to love. I'm free to offer help. I'm free to minister, to pray for somebody, to even my enemy, right? Even somebody that's been mean to me. I'm free to pray for them. I can now be kind to unthankful people. Right? And that's not right a lot today. Tell me, stop that. But when we have that ability in us, we don't have to see them as unthankful. We can see them as uneducated or ignorant, if you will. What's Paul say? They're occupying the office of the unlearned. Right? He's so kind, that Paul. See, that's walking in love. He could have said, they're stupid. Instead, he said, they're occupying the office of the unlearned. I've occupied that office many years. You probably want to put not occupied anymore on that office. Check out, move your stuff out. It's no place to be. No place to be. Look at Proverbs 4. Verse 20, it's one we know well. It says, my son, attend to my words. What's he saying? Make my words valuable. Make my words first place. Everything with God is big about place, because whatever's got place in your life is what's taking over. If it's not Him, it's taking over Him. Amen? That's why he says, don't have two masters, because you'll love one and you'll hate the other. And if you love the one that's not me, it means you're hating me. Amen? That's what he's saying. I don't want you to be double-minded. I want you to remain in me. I want my word to remain in you. And he said, so pay attention to my word. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Okay? What's he saying? I want you to know what I'm telling you to do. And I want you to know the value of what I'm telling you to do. Sayings, if you look back, and that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not these my sayings? And he was very, in Matthew, very wanted to make sure you saw these. Because these sayings were what he just said. He just said a whole bunch of things from Matthew 5 clear to Matthew 7 something. And he's saying, those are the sayings that if you do them, you're like the man who built his house on the rock, because you hear them and you do them. And see, he's not saying you heard them and you did them because you had to, right? He heard them, received them, and did them because he wanted to, because they were valuable. He saw the value of the foundation of the rock of the Word of God. And because he saw the value, not just because you could say it's doing, but it's doing because that's who you are. You know, that's like saying, what's a vacuum do? It vacuums, right? What's a Christian do? They love, right? They forgive. And how do you describe a Christian? They love, forgive, they don't judge, they don't condemn, they don't get angry and sin. They don't, you know, there's bunches of things that Christians should be recognized by.
Right.
Not leaving good tips on Sunday afternoon is not one of them. That's a bad thing to be recognized by. Right? Being crabby. There shouldn't even be such thing as a crabby Christian. If you just stop for a minute and say, wait, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It can't get any better in my life than it is right now, because no matter what's happening around you, he's in you and you're in him, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your future is sealed and your now is happy. Amen? And if we'll just think for a minute, we'll say, man, there's a dying and a lost world out there, and I'm acting like a baby.
Yeah.
A baby.
Right.
Why? I'm being selfish. I'm looking to what I want. I'm looking to my needs. I'm looking to me time. And I'm not abiding in him. Because if I'm abiding in him, his word will abide in me. And then we'll start asking the right question. What can I do for that person? You know, even the people on the streets you see, it's not a question of I ain't doing anything for them. It's what can I do for them? There's going to be a lot of times God's going to say nothing. They're not ready. Pray for them. People say, well, that's just a cop-out. No, it's not a cop-out. You got to do what God says to do, right? There are people that he didn't pray for, right? People say, well, they wouldn't believe. That's just a cop-out. No, it's not a cop-out. There's nothing he could do. If there's nothing he can do, there's nothing. There's times in your life he couldn't do something for you. Amen? People say, oh, he's God. He could do anything. He wouldn't do that, because it would hurt you. He's a really good parent. Amen. Pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not but depart from where your eyes. What's he saying? He's saying keep your vision clear. Don't let sin or things going on around you block your vision of my word, of what you see in the situation. Because what you see in the situation is going to precipitate the very next thing you say. And if you see in love, you'll say in love. Amen? And that's a good see and say. Good see and say. They should have one of those. Forgiveness. Pull the string and it should. I'm showing my age again, aren't I? See and say. Do they still have see and says? They're great. The cow goes moo. Right? Frog. Yeah. Those are awesome. Yeah. Come on. Keep them where? Keep them. And he's not just saying store them. He's saying keep them. Guard them with all that you are as valuable in your heart. Put them somewhere where nothing can get to them. Nothing can get to them. That's why the devil's always trying to get you to move. Right? If you're in him, he's trying to get you to not be in him. He wants you to be in the world. Mm-hmm. He wants you to be in Dave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? He wants you to be in anything else except in him. And then he wants to steal that word. Mm-hmm. He wants to steal the word that's in you. And so we got to guard it. You got to take it and you got to guard it as valuable. Why? Because if it's valuable, it's something you're going to do. It's something you're going, it's going to affect your life. It's going to decide what you do, how you react, where you go. It's going to decide everything in your life. Amen? And see, there's so many people that don't want God deciding what they do, because they would rather stay home. See, God just decided what I was going to do right there. He said, shut up. Yes, sir. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them where they cannot be stolen. Keep them where God can use them. God can't use words out here. He uses the words that are in your heart. Everything you've ever gotten by faith, He used the words that were in your heart. Because that's what He said. He said, don't doubt in your heart. Why? Because it steals the words that are in your heart. So don't doubt in your heart. Keep the word in your heart. The word, hearing the word brings faith. Amen. For they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. And you know, and they are to you, but they're life to those who find them. Life to what? Life to you and to anybody that you can affect. They're health to you and anybody you can affect. Nothing in the word is about you. It's not all about you. He wanted you saved so you could be the next person to join the choir, to join the ministry, to love people. What does God need in the world? He needs people who will love people the way Jesus loved people. That's what He's looking for. He said, I need people to walk in the love that Jesus walked in. And if they'll do that, then they'll do everything Jesus did. But you have to walk in the love first. People want to do the supernatural like these guys. They wanted to prophesy and do miracles, but that walking in love stuff, you know, I don't know about that. Well, you walk in love, you'll prophesy good, and you will do miracles. Why? Because walking in love will lead you to do those things, and you'll walk in power, because there is no greater power than love. Amen? And you know, it was so good when Mrs. Moore brought out forgiveness. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. If you say, I can't forgive, you're literally saying, I can't love. Anybody. And that's why Jesus said, if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Why? Because if you can't give love, you can't receive love. Because if you receive love, you freely give love. Because what's He saying? He's saying, you weren't ready to receive. Your heart would not take what I wanted to give you. Amen? And that's what he's looking for. And that forgiveness. And when we refuse to condemn people and refuse to judge them, it's literally staying in place. It's remaining. I refuse to step off this word. I refuse to step out of Him. I refuse. I will remain in Him. I will stay in my place. That's your place. Amen? And there's where He keeps you as the apple of His eye. He guards you and protects you as a valuable gem. Amen? And the same keep that He did, He wants you to keep His word. He wants you to keep His ways. He wants you to do what He says. Amen? And as we do, then Christ begins to dwell in our hearts by faith. Right? But what's He doing? He's dwelling. Now we become the house of God. Now we become His dwelling place. Because you abide in Him, and now He dwells in you. Amen? And it says, and if Christ dwell in you, right? That you'll be rooted and grounded. But let's just read it. Where was that? Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Where's He going to dwell? In your heart. That's why I said, where you want the word? In heart. Because why? How's faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word. And so you want Christ. And that dwell means to inhabit, reside permanently. So what's He saying? I want Christ to reside permanently in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, and then you go on, will know. Right? And that's what He's saying. Rooted and grounded in love, you can't go wrong. Your answers are right. Your thoughts are right. Your ways are right. You cannot make a wrong turn. Why? Because you were driving in Him, right? You were being led by His word, and you can't go wrong that way, because you'll start off right. You know, so many people are trying to get to that place without Him. You know, I want to act in love. I want to be kind. Well, step in Him, and that's who you just became. You became a child of God. And that's what He said. He said, be merciful as He's merciful. Be kind to the unthankful. You'll be like the children of the Most High. Why? Because you will be the children of the Most High. And when you're a child of the Most High, you begin to do things at that much higher level. And go back to John 15. We didn't even get off the first page. Well, we kind of did because I'm all over, so. Yeah. John 15 and verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And then he says, continue. Same word, abide. Remain in that love. When you remain in that love remains in you. And that's what he said. He said, just like I remained in God's love remained in me. Amen? Everything Jesus did on this earth was motivated by compassion and love. It was motivated by the heart of God. And see, that's why people were somewhat confused when he came and he started forgiving, and the law wasn't bad because you could actually now do the law. Why? Because you could do what he said, and you could do so much more. Amen. You could actually do so much more. And he said, I want you to, you've heard to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He said, I got something different. He said, I want you to love your neighbor. I want you to love your enemy. Yeah, do good. Love your enemy. Do good. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And then everybody's sitting there saying, that's not what the law says. And he's saying, I got something greater. I got something better. I'll fulfill that and go on. Amen? And that's, you know, that's what love does. See, the law could not bring that love into the human mind because people had to see it for what it is to serve it. David did. David served that law all the days of his life. Amen? So it was possible to love God and then the commandments. Well, if you look at Exodus, I'll tell you what, just look at it. It's Exodus 20. I might have wrote it in here. 20 verse 3 maybe. Verse 6. Exodus 26. Exodus 20 verse 6. Showing mercy, this is God, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You notice he put love me first, because if you don't love him, you won't guard, watch over, value his commandments. And what he's saying, he said, I'm going to show mercy to 1,000 of them that love me. And because they love me, they'll keep my commandments. And that's what Jesus came saying. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what he said in verse 10 in John 15, 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What's he saying? He's saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not you're keeping. That's where we have to twist our human mind, because we're saying, so I can prove my love for him if I keep his commandments. No. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. It will be part of who you are. What he's saying is, if you love me, you'll abide in me. My word will abide in you. And you become the very child of God and the very nature of me. And in that nature, you will follow my commands because you know how valuable and good they are. And you know what they'll do for your life. And you know how valuable they were for me to give to you. See, it's not a trade. It's not, if you love me, come on, show me, keep my commands, come on. Now, if you don't keep my commands, I don't think you love me. That's not what he's doing. He's saying, love me and you will. You will. And see, we're trying to do it backwards. We're trying to keep his commands so we can show him we love him. If you love him, you will. It won't be a problem. If you love him, you will forgive. If you love him, you won't judge. If you love him, you will put no gods before him. You won't have two masters. You won't worry. You won't wonder where your clothes or food are coming from. You'll seek first the kingdom of God. You'll do the things that he says. Why? Not because you have to, because you now have the ability and you have a want to. Your desire has changed. Amen? And when our desire changes, it's because of that word that's in us. And now we don't see everything according to Dave. We see everything according to him. Because now we're in him. And as we see what he would do. We see what he would say. We see where he would go. And we do accordingly.
Yeah.
Amen? And as we do those things, then we find ourselves in a better place than we've ever been. And that, you know, that's what right after that, he said, you know, I tell you this, that your joy, that you might have joy and that your joy may be full. So what's he saying? I'm telling you, if you love me, you'll follow my commands and it's going to make you happy. Not only that, your happy is going to be full. Yeah. You're going to have full happy. Full on happy. That's why we know when we're not following his commands, we're probably not happy. Because he said, if you're following my commands, you're loving me, you're following my commands, you're happy. Yeah. I said it so you'd be happy. So you'd be full of joy. Amen? Amen. God's good to us today. Yes, where do we get off this bus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at, let's close with, how about that? Let's close with 1 John 4, verse 15 and 16. This is where we want to stay. If you've not been in this place, this is where you want to get to. Because in this place is fullness of joy. In this place is better answers for you. You know, when you're in the love of God, you don't ask questions like, why God? Yeah. Because in the love of God, that question doesn't exist. Yeah. Right? Because why? Because in the love of God, you know the love of God. If you know the love of God, you don't have to ask why, because if something didn't happen, it wasn't God. Right? God didn't do that. There's questions that won't be asked if we put ourselves in the right place at all times. And sometimes when the question comes up, it's not time to talk, it's time to stop, step back, and get in the Word. Get in it. And I'm not saying open your Bible, I'm saying sit down and in Him and His Word abiding in you, and let Him begin to bring things to you. Let Him to begin to show. People are always looking for a new Word. You got Word in you, right? One Word in you could change everything in your life in an instant. And you know, He'll show you more, but get what you have first, right? I know when we were kids, we could only have a certain amount of food because that's the money. You had the money and you had the food. And when you were out of food, you were out. With Him, you're never out, right? You can eat all you want, and then He'll refill the tray. It's like Babes, the chicken place. Man, it's a good place. They put chicken out there and chicken fried steak. No, we're not going there. And then if your plate gets empty, they fill it again. Where did I say go? 1 John 4:15. He said, who shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God? God dwells in him. You know, that ought to make people shout right there. How many have confessed that Jesus is Son of God? Amen. The Father is dwelling in you. The God of the universe, right? Must be in small quantity. How does He fit in there? You know, He's dwelling in you. All that He is. What's He saying? Every character, every quality, everything that I am, I'm putting in you when you confess Jesus as Lord. I'm putting my character, my quality, my love, my compassion, right? I'm putting me in you. And I'm getting rid of you, right? Because you don't have this. Human compassion, it's not love. Now, it'll pass away the minute you do something they don't like, right? That's so you know, we don't want that kind of compassion. But it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So now you're surrounded. You've confessed Jesus as Lord, and you're now surrounded. He dwells in you. You dwell in him. It's all around you. It's all in you. Now what are you going to do? Now you abide. It's time to abide. It's time to stay put where you're at. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. And then after you've trusted him, trust him. Right. And don't jump off at any point. What the devil's going to try and get you to do is move. He's trying to get you to relocate. Yes. If he can get you to relocate into human, into Dave world, right? and you see something that Dave World would have judged, there you are. And that's what Satan wanted. He wanted you out of here, over here. He couldn't get to you here. He had to relocate you. Don't move. Don't move. Don't be moved. Don't see a situation and judge it. Don't see a situation and condemn it. Don't look at a situation and lose your faith. Don't faint in well-doing. Amen? Right here, you're going to always do good. If you stop doing good, right, for just a minute, then stop and say, okay, God, I didn't do good. You know, I need to do something. If you stop doing good because your heart doesn't want you to do good, don't let me rephrase that. Right? If you start doing good, stop doing good because you're doing something else, then you've gotten out of in Him. Because in Him you'll do good all the time. You'll think of things you could do good. He'll have to stop you sometimes and say, no, son, I can't have you. I remember one time I was trying to help somebody and I wanted to give him a check and I was so excited about it, and he said, no, you can't do that. I'm like, what? This is good, Lord. And He said, yeah, it's not for you. And somebody else was supposed to do it, and they did it, or else He would have sent me back. But you should have it on your heart to do good all the time. You should never stop desiring to see good and do good. Amen? It says, in him and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Amen? Where we stay, where we place ourselves, it's up to us. If you're going to dwell in God, you're going to have to do it. You dwell in God, you dwell in love. You have the ability as a human, free, you're free, and you can step out at any time. But when you do, you quit thinking like Him. You quit acting like Him. The Word quits producing in you. You know, when you quit producing fruit, know you're in a bad place. You need to stop and you need to get back and let that Word abide in you. Why? Because when that Word's abiding in you, you'll be producing fruit. When those things stop happening, and people think, well, does this take years, months? This takes seconds. You know when you're not operating in this love. You know it. I know it. The minute I say something, I've had to apologize to people. Say, that wasn't love. And you know what? You apologize a few times. You'll stop doing it. Yeah. Now, if I didn't apologize and I did something that wasn't love, I'm sorry. Because I wouldn't want to do that. But that means I didn't recognize it. But if I recognize it, I'm in Him and I recognize it. Yeah. Then stop. Stop for a minute. Don't let you talk. Is it right? Don't let you say anything. You stop, and the first thing you do is, if you're about to judge it, forgive it. Right? Just forgive it. It's up. Pre-forgiveness is way better, because that's what God did for us. Right? He forgave you before He knew you. Right? Jesus came, died on a cross, rose again, before He knew you. And so we can stop right there, and we can step back into our dwelling place, right? In Psalm 91, everything in Psalm 91 is only going to happen if you follow the first verse. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Everything else that happens after that, He talks about, if you made the Lord your habitation. If you do that, He's your refuge. He's your mainstay. He's your mainstay. He's your strong tower. He's your safe dwelling place. The places that Satan wants you to go, they're not safe spaces. We have safe spaces. People say, that's a woke thing, world thing. No, God created them a long time ago. Devil tries to steal God's ideas. He created all the safe space in the world, and it's in Him and His Word in us. Amen. And as we walk and live in it, as we allow the love of God, and God is love, to dwell in us, then we'll begin to do the things that He has said we can do. He's not saying these are the things you must do. He's saying these are the things you can do. And then we'll start doing them. Amen? And forgiveness won't be hard. Not judging, it won't be hard. In all these things that God's made us to do through Him, the very characteristics and the things of God that He's put in us, those are us. You are now a child of God. And everything you do and become will be where you stay and where you remain. Amen? If you stay in Him and His Word remains in you, you will always ask the right question. You will ask according to His will. And you will ask and expect to receive. Amen? Because you're in the right place. Stand on your feet. I don't know where to stop this. I got more notes. But it is the answer. So many times people are saying, wonder why this happened, or how can I do this? Or, you know, the answers are seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The answer to everything is seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you'll seek Him for in every question that you ever have, then you'll get the right answer if you seek Him first. If you're seeking Him for the wrong reasons, if you're seeking Him the wrong way, then you're not seeking Him first. You're trying to get an answer you want instead of receive an answer that was already there. The answers to everything are already here. We have answers to every question we could ever ask. You know, I was watching a story last night about a lady's daughter who had passed away suddenly and not the right way. And she said, and she quoted what everybody says, I know everything happens for a reason. There was a reason. There's a devil, and he's mean. But they were quoting it like God had something to do with it. And see, those are the things, when you don't have His Word abiding in you, you don't know Him. The truth you know will be the truth that abides in you, and the truth that makes you free will be what you know. Amen? And the guy that was talking to her, he said, maybe there's not a reason for everything. And I thought, yeah, there's still a reason. It's that there's a devil. And what she needs right now is to know the love of God. It's the only thing that heals. Amen? And I don't know what happened to every person that's watching online. I don't know what happened to anybody in this. But I do know the answer to everything that ever happened. And it is the love of God. It is the fix. It is what's fixed you. It's what brought you from darkness to light. It's what's taken you out of death and brought you into life. And it can take you through this next thing. It'll take you to overcoming sickness and disease. It'll take your mind out of wrong thinking and into what can I pray? What will I pray? What should I do? And you know, people say, what did Jesus do or what would Jesus do? Either one, you can get the answers. There's what Jesus did. There's what Jesus would do. You can get the answer anytime. And what normally He would do is not normally what your flesh would do. So the minute you see it, your flesh will say, and you say, it's right. Abide in me, Lord. I'm abiding in you. Abide in me. Glory to God. We got a song.
Living by faith.